Today on Real Radio.
Watch this in your Bible. Take a look at this. Look at verse 13 again. It says, in Christ. Look at verse 14. He himself. Verse 15, his flesh. Again, verse 15, in himself. Look at 16, that he might. Verse 17, he came. Verse 18, through him. It says in verse 18 that through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Wow.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the New Testament book of Ephesians. We've been going through this letter written by Paul verse by verse. We're also in a series of studies that reveals one of the greatest of benefits to the believer in Messiah, having access to God. In fact, that's the title of this mini-series that focuses on Ephesians 2 and verses 11 through 13. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Talk to this man this week. Punk rocker kind of, I guess a punk rocker. He was all in leather. He had earrings everywhere, nose rings. And I said, you know, we're going to invite you tonight to come. We're going to talk about evolution and creation. Will you come tonight? And he says, I'm an evolutionist. I don't believe in God. And I asked a question that every four-year-old asks. Why? What? Why? Why do you believe in evolution? It's not even true. He says, well, how do you know? I said, because God's real. It's either one or the other. He says, well, I believe in evolution. So watch this. When I asked him, have you ever done anything wrong? Yeah. Well, how do you know that? Believe me, I know. Have you ever sinned? Yep. So wait a minute, buddy. If you're an evolutionist, you can't sin. If you're an evolutionist, you've never done anything wrong. He says, well, what do you mean by that? Well, if you're an evolutionist and you're a byproduct of Darwinianism, you're nothing but an animal thing here standing in front of me. You're just an animal. So how can you do something wrong if you're just an animal? And he says, I've never thought about that. Are you guilty? Yeah. Then you just proved God exists. He said, I never thought about that. I said, so what is it? Are you an evolutionist or do you believe in the existence of God? He says, well, I believe in the existence of God, I guess. Isn't that weird? Think about it. If you've crawled out of a mud hole, then why do you feel bad when you do something wrong? If you've crawled out of a mud hole, you should be glad that you just put the other guy down, because remember, Darwin taught us it's the survival of the fittest. So if I can beat you up, evolution's true and I'm better and, you know, my family and we're going to sprout wings and fly next or whatever the next big deal is. We have to ask Shirley MacLaine. She's the one that's big on this thing. You know, they're telling us that the next big leap of evolution is going to happen. Not slowly. It's going to explode on the scene. I mean, they're waiting. Any moment, we are going to get smart. That's what she's saying. And Spangler and all these other guys. Listen, we have sinned. Jesus has come, and he's not only broken down the wall of division that separated us from God, but he's made us acceptable by his sacrifice. He has forgiven us of our sins. And you might be sitting here tonight and you say, my sins are so big, there's no way. And yeah, there's a way. God's blood was shed on the cross for you. It wasn't man's blood, it was God's blood. And we have access. It's now available to us. And 1 John chapter 1, verse 3. 1 John 1, 3 says, John says, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, we declare it to you that you also may have fellowship with us. Hey, come on in. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write to you that you might have joy and that it might be full. Isn't that neat? I got a letter last week from somebody who got our tape somewhere, and they said, is it really true? You had mentioned on the tape that if a prostitute was dropped off on the street corner and she came in with nothing on, that Calvary Chapel would allow her in to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Is it true? It's true. I'm sure that I would take my shirt off to put on her when she sat down, but it is true. It's what Jesus would have done. It's what he did. By going to the cross, he broke the wall down that divided for thousands of years the access to God. So how did he do this? Look what it says. In verse 15, it says, having abolished. This is a fantastic word, abolished. The word means to absolutely satisfy or to completely render no longer powerful. Think of a debt that you might have. Jack, don't remind me. But think of a debt that you have. To abolish that debt, somebody would step in and satisfy the demand. Do you owe somebody something? Someone steps in and satisfies the debt. And then think about this. The next day, a letter comes certified to your door and they're like suing you. But the debt was paid yesterday and the letter comes. Are you going to freak out over that letter? No. In fact, you're just going to say, return to sender, you know, on it. Nah, 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 nah. It's been paid. Debt canceled, abolished. The demand of the law was satisfied in Jesus Christ when he went to the cross. It was completed. To abolish this, he abolished in his flesh the enmity. The enmity is the separation that we experienced with God. Before we came to Jesus Christ, what were we doing? We were running away from God. We were doing our own thing. We were at war with God. Jesus in his flesh, first of all, abolished that. Listen, it means by his flesh, the years that he lived upon earth, he was sinless. This is why this is important, the doctrine of this vicarious atonement of Christ, the sinlessness of Christ. Listen, if Jesus was not sinless, you and I are going to hell. You hear that? If he was not sinless, you and I are going to hell. Because of his perfection, we're going to heaven. In his flesh, Jesus fulfilled all of the requirements of the law. The 613 requirements listed. He fulfilled them. In his flesh, he performed it. He met the demands in his flesh. Then he went to the cross and shed his blood for our not meeting the demands. He had to be the perfect lamb that takes away the sins of the world. You understand? It's both. It's both. His perfect performance as a human being, the God-man, 100% God, 100% man, and his innocent blood allowed us access. And he has done this wonderful thing that we're going to see in a moment and what has been worked out in our lives who are believers. Having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. Listen to this. How did Jesus do this? How did Jesus accomplish such a thing, abolishing this in his flesh? Colossians 2, jot it down, verses 13 and 14. Tremendous verse. It says, when you were dead in your sins, that's us before we came to Christ, in the uncircumcision of your sinful nature. That means we did whatever our nature demanded of us. We did it. We had no power to say no. God made you alive with Christ. He forgave us all of our sins, having canceled the written code that was against us, its regulations that stood opposing us. And he took it away, nailing it to his cross. Every one of us. Everything that we did wrong, the little record was running. And there's this list. Jesus, when he went to the cross, took that list, and it says in the scripture here in Colossians that he nailed it to his cross. So Christian, tonight, if you're battling, if you're struggling tonight, listen, if you're struggling and if you're battling, that's okay. But if tonight you are saying, I think I've lost my salvation, and I ask you, why? Because I've been a bad Christian today. I've been a bad Christian this month. This year hasn't been going well for me. Listen, you don't understand something. Jesus Christ has made atonement for you. You may be having a bad year or a bad week, or you may have had a bad day, but you are not aborted from the kingdom. You're not kicked out. His blood and his work is not fickle, and those whom he saves do not become unsaved. It's very important that we remember this in our lives. He has taken the law, he's met the demands of the law that we couldn't meet in himself. He's taken the Jew, who was very self-righteous in his ordinances, and he's taken the Gentile who didn't know nothing and lived like a maniac, and he brought them two together by the power of his sacrifice so they could sit in church together and worship the Lord, totally forgiven. Wouldn't that be great if that could happen today? Can you imagine getting this gang and that gang together in one room without killing themselves long enough to give the gospel to them? Their hearts are changed, and then they're having prayer meetings together, and they both have the different kind of colors on and whatever tennis shoes you shouldn't wear. You know, he's got Reeboks on and he's got Nikes on, so you're supposed to blow each other up or something. Weird things. Can you imagine Jesus stepping into the hearts of those who are divided? That's what we're talking about. That's what he did then. He met the law. He met the demands. And verse 15 tells us that he did a creative work. It says that he created in himself one new man from two, thus making peace. He's done a great work. Look at verse 16. It says, he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. The body that he's speaking about is his own. The reconciliation that he's talking about is bringing unity. Peace. Unity. Canceling out the division that's with them. Verse 17 says, and he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. Now, what is Paul talking about? What does he mean? Did Jesus show up to them and preach? No. But when we go out and give the gospel, people, it's as though Christ is pleading through us. Isn't that a trip? When we tell somebody the gospel truth and we lead them in the gospel message, the Lord is pleading through us. And we have to remember that we're just a go-between. And you see people, they share the Lord for the first time maybe, and the person says, yes, finally, to the question. You go around all around, you meet all the points. Do you believe this, this, and this, and this? And here's where you're at. And they all go, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, down to the bottom. And this happened this last week. The certain people in the team, they're witnessing and they're talking to these people. And they're going all around. They're getting it just perfect. They got right down there. Guys respond to every little line. And the guy's like ready. And the hook is there. And the worm is wiggling. He's just going to bite the thing. And you're going to pull him into the boat. And this one brother goes, Pastor Jack, this guy's like totally ready. And I said, do it. But I mean, I think he wants to accept the Lord. See you later. And walked away. And you know what? He had to ask the question that we just beat all around the bush before we ever get to it is, would you like to accept Christ? Isn't that funny? You know, we can talk about their mama. They can talk about my mama. We can talk about anything. We can talk about all God. We can talk about this, that, and the other thing. And the bottom line is, we come right down to the issues. Would you like to accept Jesus Christ? And you know what? Try it and see. Most of the time they'll say, yeah, I think I would. And we have such faith. We have such great faith that even when we lead them in the prayer, you know, we've got one eye open, we're looking. And then we're praying, Lord, now repeat this after me. Dear Jesus, come into my heart. God, I don't think they believe a word of this. I don't even think they mean it. I know that I'm a sinner. I bet he doesn't even have a clue. And write my name in your book of life. Oh, God, I'm sure. I mean, you're not probably even listening to this. I mean, how can this guy even get saved? We are so strange. It's not us. The power, Paul says, is not of us. We're just supposed to say what's in the book, and he does the work. And when he does it, it's like, wow. How can this be true? Because what Jesus has done, he's given us this power of reconciliation. The book of Corinthians tells us that we have the power given to us, the ministry of reconciliation. That is, he has granted to us by the power of the gospel to bring people out of the world and into his kingdom of light. And the moment you think you're doing it is the moment you can't get your head through the sanctuary door here. And it is the moment that we're all just going to watch you fall, because pride comes before a fall. And it's pretty funny. I'm not going to mention a pastor's name. Great, great guy. He's really tall and super duper guy. And he was preaching a message at Calvary Costa Mesa, and he said this at a pastor's conference. It was so great. He said while he was preaching, he said God was moving so heavily through him, he had never felt or seen anything like it. And he said to himself, I have never heard a sermon this good in my life. I can't believe this is happening. And he's just going, man. And the people are going, wow. And he said he closed his Bible, and man, that was great. Lord, thank you, God, and just praise you, and just, you know, just great. And he said, God bless you, thanks for having me. This guy's like 6'6". And he just stepped right off the platform and went straight down, and 3,000 people start looking at the ceiling and they're watching. I didn't see that happen, you know. And rumor has it that Chuck said, you know, if you would have went up the way you came down, it would have been a much better message. It's not of us. It's what he's done. Watch this in your Bible. Take a look at this. Look at verse 13 again. It says, in Christ. Look at verse 14. He himself. Verse 15. His flesh. Again, verse 15. In himself. Look at 16. That he might. Verse 17. He came. Verse 18. Through him. It says in verse 18 that through him. We both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Wow. You want to jot this down real quickly and be blessed? Where does the finished work of Christ put us tonight as believers in Jesus Christ, yielded to Him? Not being able to do anything of our own, but just simply accept Him? When it says that He came and preached to you who once were afar off, that's us here tonight. And He's brought us more than near, by the way. Ezekiel 36:27 says, I will put my Spirit in you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. How does that happen? By God moving into your life, by the Holy Spirit. Man, there's so much to say on this, and there's no time left. By His work upon the cross, Jesus produced the good news, the gospel of God that changes the world. And in Matthew 12:18, the scripture says, Behold my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my Spirit upon Him and He will declare justice to the Gentiles. That's us. And that wall's been broken down and we can have access to God. And if Indiana Jones found the ark tonight and brought it right in here in front of us, it wouldn't hurt us. We could touch it. We could sit on top of it. Because we have access to God through what Jesus Christ has done. Jot this down and we'll be all done. Access to God. Romans 5:1-2. Talk about access. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. No longer enmity, no longer war. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace by which we stand. Grace. Having access, jot this down. John 10:9. Jesus said, I am the door, and if anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. That's pasture for their soul. Peace, Irene. Talk about access. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. That's access. You're going to try to beat some other path to the door, you're not going to make it in. Listen, get easy access. Then finally this, we quoted it earlier, it's a great verse. 1 Timothy 2:5, there is one God and one go-between, between God and mankind, and that is the man Christ Jesus. And that's what He's done for us. And we are grateful, more than grateful.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, in a presentation taken from Ephesians 2:11-13. It's part of a mini-series called Having Access to God. We'll continue with more in our journey through Ephesians on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now, if you're a follower of Jesus, you know that He is an historic figure. He walked the earth around 2,000 years ago and had been awaited for thousands of years before that. So to help you better understand more about history's most influential figure, you should take advantage of our current offer. It's Pastor Jack's audio CD set, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. It's a valuable tool in helping us to better understand the culture of the period, its political climate, even the way in which those awaiting Messiah's arrival thought, and so on. Pastor Jack's The Life and Times of Jesus Christ on audio CD is yours when you make a contribution to the ongoing work of Real Radio of any amount. So when you get in touch with us by calling, clicking, or writing, just ask for it by title, The Life and Times of Jesus Christ. Visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is toll-free, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or you can send your gift to Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. If you missed any of this contact information, just pay us a visit at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Until next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ. and in His Word.
Inside, you shine amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.